Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
You only show up in person on Sundays every so often, so we'll give you a mulligan on that first one.
Thank you. I'll be ready.
It is Free Talk Live. We're a live call-in radio talk program where you can call in, talk about anything that's on your mind. The telephone number here is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. Captain's Log, Stardate 09172023. In the studio tonight, it is myself, the authentic Lord Reverend Dr. Captain Kickass Buckshot Esquire, if you will. Joining me tonight,
it's Nikki.
And Mark.
Thank you, Mark, for being here on Sunday with us. We're weird.
It's certainly my pleasure.
So, I mean, I think you fit right in, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. You've been here before. So
is this like his audition?
Well, yeah, you know, like the one thing, the one mark against him, pun intended, is the lack of facial hair.
That's right, I have no facial hair.
Whoa,
but Nikki's,
what is that supposed to mean?
Nikki's female, so that's better. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Like it's beneficial if you have no facial hair,
yeah,
particularly
to
our viewing audience over at watch.freetalklive.com.
We do have the guest beard.
We do, and actually Mark guested on Beard Talk Live last night, and he did don the guest beard.
Yeah, you can only don it for so long, though.
It's really super itchy.
Yeah, it's really terrible.
I blame the...
looks good. I mean, like, from the camera,
it's,
of course,
pretty hilarious. Yeah,
I can't see very well because the camera viewer is maybe 6 inches and 15 feet away. So, yeah, you know, but I look like, oh, yeah, that might be what I'd look like with a beard.
Yeah, due to lack of budget, the procurement of said guest beard was done by, well, Mark. And, of course, Mark, being notoriously cheap, spent, what, $10?
Yeah, it was, I think, $10 for a beard. Yeah.
On the thing, so.
This was the premium beard. They were cheaper ones.
Really?
Yeah, there were. Yeah.
Because, like, we've been looking at, you know, $100 guest beards.
Oh, there's probably,
you know,
that, yeah.
In that range. And, like, we were going to do, like, a fundraiser, maybe, or, you know, set up a different wallet and, like, have people donate crypto to it or something just to, can we raise enough just to get a guest beard? But then you show up with one, and we're like, oh, sweet, we'd like to do that now.
Yeah. Send it in a paper envelope.
Yeah, we have authentic human hair.
Like it was some kind of, yeah. This,
virgin,
this,
never died.
No, it's not that.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Do you guys
cut it out of some hippie's carpet?
Yeah, I think it might be felt.
It may be felt. It's been felt, and it'll be felt again. When you put it on, it's felt, even if it's not.
It's like a visit to the county jail.
We have a caller on hold already, and I want to get to him first. But have you guys heard? I know you know what FOMO is, right?
Yeah.
Fear of missing out. Do you know what FOBO is?
No.
FOBO.
I think,
and
I do.
It has nothing to do with body odor, by the way.
Okay,
that fear of body odor, which was my first thought.
I have that, so.
Bombing out?
No, but okay. Kind of, depending on the context.
All right.
We'll get to that and talk about it. First, let's go to Law Dog calling from Michigan. Law Dog, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, can you give me about 3 or 4 minutes? I got a scenario right here for you.
No, you're on the radio right now.
Okay, Jacktown Confidential, off the record on the QT and very hush-hush. Let's review. Motion of summary disposition in proper judicial venue. Copy of correct contract, a.k.a. card members agreement with affidavit stating the true, authentic, genuine, and correct contract pertaining to the, get this, alleged and disputed debt. Call JAMS, Judicial Arbitration Mediation System, for initiating.
Okay, it sounds like you're reading from a bunch of stuff there, Law Dog. What's the heart of the matter? What's going on?
Just the summary.
Give me 3 or 4 minutes, and you can make America.
That's not how this works.
Nobody's going to listen to you reading a thing for 3 or 4 minutes and be entertained. So, sadly, the first priority of this show is to be a show.
It's saving their financial butt.
Can you just give us a summary, please?
What can they search on the Internet?
Motion for summary judgment.
Motion
get
for summary judgment.
Contract. Arbitration clause. Never, ever, ever miss your court date.
Debt validation letter
to junk debt buyer.
So you want to teach people how to sort of win?
I don't want to teach anybody anything.
Oh,
then
what's the point of your call?
What was it? You there?
Yeah, we're listening.
Hi.
We're waiting for you to tell us. Law Dog? Law Dog? Law Dog going once. Law Dog going three times. Well, all right. Thanks for the call, man.
Clearly, information the government did not want you to know.
I understand people who call and want to give us and our listeners information. That's great. But our listeners are capable of, you know, reading the details themselves.
And that's really the best way to do it. Radio isn't the medium. Like, nobody's sitting there with a pencil waiting for Law Dog's call and taking notes and things like that.
And it's fine if, like, we ask a question and then he goes to his source material and, like, tries to answer. That's fine. But, like, you got to be able to give us a summary of what you're calling. I'm calling today because, ladies and gentlemen, these people are getting ripped off. Here's how. And I have this information in front of me that might be helpful. Great. You know, how can people get a hold of that information? Have you republished this somewhere? Does it exist somewhere else? How can people help themselves to this information?
It's also usually helpful if the callers know what the point of their own call is. It's a little, you know, red flag if you can't answer that question.
Have a title. Have
That's
a headline.
Supposed to be like the simple part. What's the point?
Thank you for the call, Law Dog, and feel free to call again. I had asked you guys previously if you had heard of FOBO.
Yes.
Right. Everybody knows FOMO is fear of missing out.
Yep.
Well, this from Zero Hedge. Young people begin to freak out about AI taking their jobs, survey reveals. Now, this is weird because, Mark, you and I are about the same age. I remember the growing up, the big complaint against immigration was, they're taking our jobs.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Robots are the new immigrants.
South Park did a whole thing on it, right? You know, they're taking our jobs and all that kind of thing. It's become a meme of itself.
Yep.
And so apparently the new fear of
which they're taking
loss.
Our jobs was so much better than the fear that came before that, which is we won't have jobs because the Japanese are going to make everything.
Well, it turns out it's the Chinese.
Right. Well, but it won't be soon. It'll be somebody else. It's those darn Bangladeshis working for nothing.
Well, I heard somebody argue that one of the reasons that computer automation, not necessarily AI, but stuff that kind of resembles what AI is trying to do to industries, hasn't come to full fruition yet because there are still financially destitute people to be exploited.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. So that is to say that it's still cheaper to hire offshore labor to do all sorts of things than it is to employ or deploy automation, computer automation, industrial automation, which would be computerized, that type of a thing. And I don't remember the exact specifics of the argument, but like I was convinced. I'm like, that makes total sense. That's why, and in fact, what has happened with the information revolution, the Internet, if you will, the information superhighway, is the net effect, if you will, no pun intended, is bureaucracy has grown, right? There's more paper pushers, more desk jobs, more data entry to be done because these databases don't update themselves yet. Now, AI
might do that.
AI aims to replace automated tasks. Anything that can be easily automated can be done by AI. So if you find yourself in a job where it's routine, where you're constantly inputting the same sets of information into different databases or something along those lines, or you have to do data analysis, you have to like sort of interpret the information, like all these things are probably going away between the combination of AI and the blockchain. Because the blockchain can serve as an indisputable record that's permanent and public. And AI can actually automate the tasks. So to answer the question, and this article will talk about it, FOBO is the fear of becoming obsolete. Phobo.
Becoming obsolete. All right.
I mean, I guess I understand the fear, but I personally think it's a good thing that a lot of these jobs are being replaced by AI and other, you know, automated things, mm-hmm. like the self-checkout. That's a big one. That a lot of older folks are so up in arms about. Like,
there's
a bunch of
libertarians that are like, hey, you don't pay me $20 an hour, so you come and check my grocery. And I'm like, no. I'm a big fan of self-checkout.
Yeah.
I want to get out of the store as fast as possible with as limited interaction as I can with employees that work there. Right? Why is that? Well, because the quality of service has declined over time. People don't know what the hell they're doing. People get things wrong all the time. There's a, you know, price discrepancy or something like, or like, you know, if I'm just getting a couple of things, I just want to get in there
so much quicker.
I can scan, I can bag, right, better than most people who get paid to do that.
Well, and also, I mean, you walk around the store and you collect the things you'd like, too. To me, it's kind of like complaining about that. Oh, well, you don't pay me $20 an hour to shop here,
right.
So I'm not, you know, like, it's not really that much different. It's not a huge inconvenience. It's a very easy thing. It makes sense, and I don't really get why a lot of people are up in arms about it. And there's a lot of things like that where it's just so much easier if humans are replaced by robots or AI or whatever in those certain things. And honestly, people don't want to work those jobs anymore anyways. And we're developing new jobs that do need people for those jobs. So this is kind of just the natural progression of things.
It seems that way to me, but many people argue against it.
Yeah.
Well. And, you know, they can. As far as I'm concerned, you should, you know, like, get what you want. You know, I mean, Walmart generally has cash registers open. Get in line and do that thing.
Well, they also have a large self-checkout.
Personally, at the grocery store, if I've got vegetables, which is almost every time, I'll usually get in line to let the cashier take care of the vegetable thing.
Why?
I don't really, I mean, I've done it a couple of times at the self-checkout, you know, the weighing it, the finding it, and all that stuff. But, you know, I figure they're skilled at going through the list, and they know where the cucumbers are or whatever. I don't know why I picked that. It's the one thing I won't eat. But, you know, they can tell the difference between the cilantro and the parsley and, you know, these kind of things, and they just, you know, ring them up and off they go. So, I just let them do it.
Interesting.
Now, if it's something with a QR code on the bottom, what is it called? UPC?
UPC. Right.
UPC on the bottom. Beep, beep, beep. Yeah, absolutely. I'll do all that.
Right, yeah. And, like, when it comes to bagging my groceries, like, there used to be an art to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there used to be, like, people wouldn't hire people who were bad at bagging groceries. That's not the case anymore.
Yeah.
Or so it seems to me. And whenever I do go through a checkout line and they got to bag stuff for me, it's always messed up.
Yeah.
But, like, most of the time.
No,
80% of the time.
I understand that because I'm very particular about how things go in the bag as well. And that's why I love Aldi's, because it's quick. And you can bag your own stuff and things like that. You know, the same thing with the shopping carts. You put the quarter in.
Yeah.
All of those things make your groceries cheaper, which is really what I want. Yep. I just want good quality stuff for as cheap as possible.
Yep.
So I think it's great.
I when it comes to grocery bagging, they say, is there any way you want these things bagged? Yes, in the bag. I just, you know, just put them in the bag. I figure you're the bagging expert. You go ahead and do it.
Well, and that's the way things used to be, in my opinion, right? The bagging person was the bagging expert. They knew that you don't put the eggs on the bottom and everything else on top.
Right.
I mean, that's common
eggs
sense.
Is it?
Yeah, it is, actually.
I don't.
It's still common sense whether they do it or not.
I don't know. It's just sense because it's not common.
If my eggs were broken at the end of this, I would be like, what a bunch of idiots.
Right.
But they never have been so far. What always creeps me out is like if I go shopping with my mother, she'll buy a can of Raid. It seems like every time.
Okay.
Put that in with food. Like, I freak out. Like, suddenly, like, what in the world?
Throwing around
this stuff
with your,
is literally poisoned.
With your, like, cabbage and your lettuce and your carrots and your squash or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Millions of jobs across the Western world are at risk due to artificial intelligence. Earlier this year, Goldman Sachs cautioned its clients that AI could affect up to 300 million jobs in the coming years. Recent news about IBM implementing a hiring freeze.
Just talking about Free Talk Live for a second here. there is plenty of audio of Ian and I and you and probably Nikki on the radio to be able to get our voices.
Yep.
Determine what that voice is.
Yep.
I would think that you could go right now to get AI to say, hey, write a libertarian script. Well, just write a libertarian write a script between two libertarians arguing about property rights.
Oh, yeah, easy.
And yeah. Then, you know, you just have Ian argue one, you have Mark argue the other, and then over time you can develop characters yep. that might be closer and closer to them. You know, Ian there, blow up cop cars! You know, and Ian and Mark's like, well, I don't know. I don't think so.
It's possible that in, well after our lives have expired,
yes,
that
right.
somehow some AI is still producing Free Talk Live shows with Ian and Mark.
I think cool. there's a fan probably who's just heard my pitch and is going to be calling me tomorrow. It's Mark at freetalklive.com.
It's not a phone number, though. That's an email address.
Yeah, right.
Oh, no, we're being replaced by AI.
Like, are you afraid?
Not really.
Because that's Phobo.
Right. Lose the big pay.
Recent news about IBM implementing a hiring freeze due to automation, along with similar actions by other corporations, has sparked the fear of becoming obsolete, or FOBO, amongst the younger workforce participants, according to a new poll. Gallup revealed a surge in respondents expressing FOBO, driven by the expansion of AI over the last year. 22% now say they worry that technology will make their job obsolete. That's up 7 points from the prior reading in 2021. The figure had previously varied between 13 and 17%, with little upward movement in the trend. FOBO is occurring with college-educated workers, among whom the percentage...
I would think so, because those are the ones who would be concerned about their jobs. Because what I hear is it's going to tear out the middle of the earners. The people who are in the middle is what the
middle class is...
Yeah, they're going to get... That's what's going to...
Goes away.
I mean, and yeah. I would think, like, a lot of trades... I mean, you maybe could...
Oh, trades are where you're safe.
No, that's what I'm trying to say, because I'm just theorizing. I mean, maybe you could program robots to build a house, but I just don't see that happening anytime in the near future. So yeah. And like plumbing, electrical work, you know, like that would be hard.
All of that stuff.
I mean, that kind of goes beyond an AI thing, and that would be more yeah. like physical robots doing
and
stuff.
And like it would actually be easier for AI and 3D printing and that kind of thing to build a brand new house from scratch than it
yeah.
would
to fix something.
To fix something. And this is where the human value comes in.
Mm-hmm.
If you know how to repair stuff.
Yeah.
Right? That's where the real human value yep. comes in my opinion. And, you know, the trades are where it's at. Robots, AI, 3D printing, they might help these industries along mm-hmm. in ways, shapes, and forms that we haven't imagined yet. But the creativity and the skills to put it together in the right way, that's not going away anytime soon. So welding, carpentry, plumbing, electrical.
Should always right. be mentioned. I have never met a poor plumber.
Yeah.
I mean, those right. bastards, you plumbers. It's a great earning job. I've got to say this as far as teaching young people to for trades and that kind of thing. My son Jack has developed this... whenever I'm like, come on, we're going to go hang a picture for your Muffy,
okay.
Or whatever we're going to do.
Yeah.
Right. Like, he's never seen Adam's Family. Where did he get this groan from? I have no clue.
I have no idea.
And it's not like I scream at him when he holds the light. You know what? When he holds the light, he's terrible at it. I probably do scream at him for that part.
So you're telling me Jack has not become a... Jack of all trades?
Well, he's a lot better off than his contemporaries, I can tell you that.
That's good. That's
it's
great.
Just because he's had to.
Well,
but he he couldn't fix a small engine.
No. Yeah, me neither.
I mean, me either.
Yeah. Well, there are people who can. So
I might get lucky and diagnose it right the first time and then figure out what I need to replace in it and be able to do that. Might.
Yep.
But I'm going to go ask somebody else first. Right. I'm not going to be like, I know exactly what to do. I'm going to be like, let me call this other guy who's way better at this than me. Right. I will defer to a legitimate authority. Right.
Yeah.
Somebody who I consider an expert in a thing that I'm not an expert in.
I got a lot of training in fixing houses, not a lot of training in fixing vehicles. So I do the house stuff that's just labor intensive, and I leave the vehicles to somebody else. And I do not touch electric. You know,
that's usually a good advice to not touch electric.
Yeah. Gonna call an electrician.
It depends on what it is and whether or not I know where the off switch is to turn like everything off to make sure that there is no energy. Right, I know how to touch something
that
to a ground.
That part isn't what bothers me.
To make sure that there's any discharge, whatever. That, right, yeah. I mean, but if like I could probably replace a standard outlet. Right.
Oh, I can do that. I'll replace a standard outlet.
I could go turn off the electricity, wire up an outlet, you know, or undo and redo. An outlet or something like that, or replace a switch, maybe. But, like, the more complex it gets, the less likely I am to tackle it myself.
And notice, on the list of trades, we didn't mention electrician, who is probably the chief among them.
I did mention electrician.
Okay, good.
Because that's something I'm hiring out most of the time.
Yeah.
Because
why they make, like, $150 an hour.
I don't want to burn my place down either immediately or later.
Yeah. Like, yeah. That's always a nice surprise.
Here in Hampshire, they're 150 years old. You want to keep them.
Right. FOBO is occurring with college-educated workers, among whom the percentage worried has jumped from 8% to 20%, Gallup said. At the same time, survey data showed those without college degrees could care less about AI taking their jobs.
Take it.
Most of the FOBO is occurring with younger respondents. They've got some charts here that I'm not going to attempt to decipher over the air.
So, real quick, this one sector just makes incredible margins. Coffee.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they take what was at one point, it had great margins, but I mean, you know, you think of what, 20 cents in coffee, maybe, you know, a few more cents in sugar and cream, the paper cup, you know, a few things, you pour it in from the little urn thing into the
coffee. We've got artisan coffee.
But couldn't the gizmos, I mean, aren't the gizmos already producing pretty tasty coffee in convenience stores? Why is it that the cappuccino has to be done by a human being?
It doesn't, because they mess it up every single time. Every time I order a coffee from Dunkin' Donuts, Gourmet Donuts, and insert donut coffee shop here, they always make it different. And I'm ordering, you know, easy coffee, like iced coffee with whole milk and light sugar. Mm. And they just, sometimes it's extra sugar.
Yes.
Sometimes it's no sugar. Sometimes they get it just right, but very rarely. If you had a, you know, machine doing that, I'm sure it'd be perfect every single time.
Yeah, yeah. The thing about coffee is they've made it into a production, right? Yeah. And so it allows people to be, well, snootier than they actually are. Right.
Well, I think that they develop a you know, a preference for whatever their coffee drink is, and they like it. But
they've candied coffee is what they've done. The same thing that drinks were was, you know, liquid candy, right? Coffee is also liquid candy. 603-283-6160. Are you in fear of becoming obsolete? Give us a call. Let us know. More Free Talk Live is coming up.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
USA News Update. President Biden is set to host Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky at the White House Thursday. The meeting comes as the administration is pushing for more of your tax dollars to head to Ukraine as the nation continues to fight against Russia. Nearly 13,000 auto workers are continuing their strike, demanding better pay and benefits from three factories, General Motors, Ford, and Stellantis. Democratic Congressman Ro Khanna from California joins Fox News Sunday and reacts to critics who claim President Biden is mishandling the situation.
The workers are in the right. The big three auto companies are not. Gene Sperling on the president's team is siding with the workers. I believe the question is, are you going to side with the workers to get higher wages? Or are you going to side with the big three auto companies? And the president is clearly on the side of the workers.
Tim Berg, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Still, well, kind of free at least. So that makes Free Talk Live. If you are unfamiliar with our program, please visit freetalklive.com and find out all about us on our website. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain,
Nikki,
and Mark.
The telephone number, if you want to join us, is 603-283-6160. We've been talking about Phobo, rhymes with hobo.
It does.
I'm reminded of my former bass player's verbal invention. That's hobosexual.
Oh, no.
So he only dates homeless women.
Oh, no.
And then the good news is that when he's done, he can just drop them off wherever.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's not going to be the way it goes, gentlemen.
He's a hobosexual.
I've heard of that term, but in the reverse, like hobosexual being someone that only dates somebody for a place to live.
Sure. Now, that I've heard. Well, and that makes sense.
You've just described rock drummers the world over. That's the old joke. What do you call a drummer without a girlfriend?
Homeless.
Homeless. Right, yeah.
Wah, wah.
Sorry, drummer.
So this reminds me of an entirely different tack, is that there's three different words describing three different levels of hobo.
Right, yeah.
You know, like, so there's hobo, tramp, and bum. And it all depends on whether or not they want to work. You know, they're all sort of homeless,
yeah.
Right, wandering around without a place.
Right.
But a...
drifters.
Yeah, I think it's a hobo wants to work, a tramp will work, and a bum simply will not. Or, I mean, I don't have it sitting in front of me, so
right,
I could be wrong on the hobo and the tramp.
I think the tramps came from the old rail tramps.
Yeah.
Right? And these would be people who would figure out that, oh, I can just jump on this empty rail car and get to another place.
Right.
And they would wander looking for work. Right. So I think that's where the tramps came from, is that they would try, you know, they're like, well, I got nothing left to lose. I'll go get a job in another city and I'll jump a train to get there for free.
It says tramp is in search of work. So maybe a tramp is a person who wants to work.
Right. They're looking for work. They don't have any money. Yeah. So they got to get a free ride somewhere into a place where maybe there's opportunity. Yeah. So they would jump on the train and go and get a job somewhere else.
Yeah, and then the hobo will work, and then the bum, this one I know, the bum will not work. And, I mean, I don't know what the who it was on TV would always call people bums, but, I mean, it's a pretty rough pejorative.
You know. The article here continues talking about Phobo, and it says the number one worry respondents had was AI and other technological advancements harming their job benefits. About one-third said they were worried about reduced benefits, and almost a quarter worried about decreasing wages. The wake-up call for workers has been the release of ChatGPT last November. It's not even been out a year, right, ChatGPT?
Yeah.
It is,
changed the world.
It is no longer only about robots standing in for humans in warehouses and on assembly lines, but it has expanded to online programs conducting sophisticated language-based work, including writing computer code. Now, I've already experienced this obsolescence, right? And that is to say that AI has become so good at reproducing the human voice, just audio files, that my bread and butter, which was voicing telephone systems for businesses, right? You know, press 1 for sales, press 2 for service, press 3 for this, that, and the other thing, right? I would voice all that stuff, and so that would create repeat customers because, you know, every couple of years they're going to redo something.
Yep.
You know, some of the organizations prefer a list of everybody's name that you read to them instead of them recording their own because they want it to sound more consistent and professional or whatever. And so then you'd get repeat work because you'd have to go in and update this stuff whenever there was employee turnover, or if they were acquired by another company, you'd have to change the company name and all this kind of stuff. None of that exists anymore, or at least it doesn't on any of the newer telephony systems. There's some old systems out there, some on-premise systems that, you know, still, you know, have the need for people like me to do that kind of work. But
there's still
by and large, now all anybody has to do is call in Tier 1 customer service and be like, yeah, you got the old list playing for the employee directory. I just submitted you in text the new list. Can you make the change? Like, hold on a second. Tap, 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 copy. Paste, the AI does all the work.
Yeah.
There's not a human that has to go in and record that, upload it, right, make sure it's the right volume. No, the AI just does it all, and it sounds incredibly real.
I have played AI voice commercials on Free Talk Live in the past just to see what it was like and see if people could, you know, would make comments. Not a one, never. Crickets. Now, they may have known, but nobody said anything.
No, what I'm saying is technology has gotten so good that even a seasoned professional at doing this, me, can't tell. Like, I can't tell the difference. I could not tell. They have so many different choices now. You can choose, like, the most popular, male, English, but you can choose a tenor, a baritone.
Mm.
You can choose, like,
between them.
Yeah, you can choose, like, what do they call it? Mid-Atlantic. You can choose urban. You can choose, right? And there's these different subculture accents that they've perfected.
Yeah.
Right? You could choose female.
The urban
that's southern.
Not too urban is very popular.
Right, right. You can choose a female, high voice, female, mid voice, female, low voice. You can choose soothing, you can choose piercing, you can choose, like, all these different descriptors for all these voices, and it's just it's a checkbox.
Yep.
Right? This previously was, you would have to search through hundreds of people to find the right voice for your company, for your organization, right? And then maybe some companies, if they're making enough money, would just continue to hire that person for
as
long as they did. And then it morphed into, well, we'll hire a person with these talents, but also have them do other stuff. Right, so they're combining roles now, right? They're finding somebody with a talented voice to also do some other stuff. And so that's kind of where I found myself. And then now, like, even my sort of side work, right, where I get these, like, hey, you did our voice system for us back in, you know, 2004. Do you think, you know, I'd be like, sure, right? You know, send me some PayPal or whatever and that kind of thing. That's dried up, gone.
Yeah.
They've all been migrated onto new systems where that is no longer necessary. It's all done by digital technology, AIs.
Progress.
It is. And, like, I'm picky, but when I listen to these systems, they're great. I'm like, I don't know that I could have done any better,
right?
Quite honestly. You know, they're great. Now, they don't turn out great when the person doing the programming of the system screws up, right? They use a comma where they shouldn't have,
right,
or an extra space, or they misspell a word, and so now the AI doesn't quite know how to pronounce it. Some of the more ethnic-sounding names, and I'm thinking of, like, Polish names, Russian names, right? These long Eastern Europeans, Asian names, for that matter.
The English-speaking voices can't get Spanish words proper.
Right.
You
know? But they do have Spanish available.
Yeah, they do.
Like all the multiple languages. And it's even to a point where if somebody were to submit a script for their whole phone system and they only submitted it in one language, right? The telephony systems that are being developed now can just transduce that. It'll translate it for you.
Nice.
And so if you're like, oh, yeah, we also want, if somebody presses 4 to get this whole thing in English, it'll translate it for you. Now, in my opinion, you should still run that by somebody who speaks Spanish.
Yeah.
Or if it's in Spanish and you translate it English, you want to run it by somebody just for contextual, you know, purposes. But as long as you do that, just as a CYA, it's going to come out great.
And it's probably way cheaper, too. Because I could...
It costs nothing.
Yeah.
Literally, it's just programming. Like I said, a tier one customer service rep making, you know, $15 an hour, whatever it is, whatever the minimum is they can get away. Sometimes these are offshore people, so there's even less than that. Like, all they got to do is copy and paste them. They have to be granted access to the platform, to the customer's partition to make these changes, so there's got to be some trust involved. But it's just copy and paste. And, you know, that's how it is now. Whereas it used to be, like, if myself and the other people at the company that I worked for that had good voices, so I thought I curated these people to, you know, help with this type of work when it was too much for one person to keep up with. When, you know, we were unable, or like the customer was too picky just for sort of their freebie, right? Because we give them a free one on the way in, and then changes cost them a little extra here and there, depending on how big the change was and that kind of a thing. We would partner with some other company that, like, had a bunch of talent on their roster, and they were, you know, that was their whole entire company. We just find talent, and now people would have to pay big bucks for this. We're talking a $1,500 entry fee just to become a customer of this company and choose, you know, oh, I was listening to the recordings on your website, and Bob Smith sounded the best, or Janie Reynolds sounded the best, right? They would pick that particular artist, and then they would sign a contract to have them on board for X amount of time to do all their changes. Gone. All that stuff is gone.
Yep, all gone.
Yeah.
So, the world's changed, and, you know, I didn't expect us to be first, but here we are.
Well, I don't think that live broadcasting will ever go away. Right? I think that there is...
That's because people are willing to do it for free.
Well, but I think there's value in human beings talking to other human beings, as opposed to, like, AI trying to talk to human beings.
Yeah.
I don't think AI could conduct a very effective live call-in program.
Well, and it's not quite perfected yet. You know, like, sometimes you'll see, like, oh, the AI Burger King commercial, and it's something about it is always not quite right. Or if they're like, oh, you know, do a Joe Rogan podcast. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, I could maybe kind of believe it. And then it says something that you're like, no, that, you know, gave it all away.
Oh, like these deep fakes?
Yes, yeah, exactly, yeah.
The good news is that mankind is fallible. Therefore, anything mankind builds is also fallible. So, again, we're talking about repair.
Oh, sure.
Right? If you know how to fix, you know, even a computer program, right, some coding may be involved. Or if you have the right AI that you can deploy in just the right way to go fix somebody else's code, right? If you can repair stuff, that's where the value is.
Mm-hmm.
The value is going to be in repair. Building, right? You know, that kind of stuff is always in demand, always will be. Constructing of new stuff because there's always something new coming down the pipe. So those are the things that are valuable. According to Goldman's Jan Hatzius, using data on occupational tasks in both the U.S. and Europe, we find that roughly two-thirds of current jobs are exposed to some degree of AI automation, and that generative AI could substitute up to one-fourth of current work. 25%. Yeah. Extrapolating our estimates globally suggests that generative AI could expose the equivalent of 300 million full-time jobs to automation, as up to two-thirds of occupations could partially be automated by AI.
So, for one, I would say salespeople are pretty safe, because that always requires a little something very human. However, you were mentioning that you were hiring people at one point who had the dual skills. They had not only the voiceover, but they had, you know, the VO possibilities,
yes,
but they also had, they could do other things.
Right.
So you would get them to do all kinds of things.
I think mostly tech support.
I think that's where the rest of us are going to, is that the job won't go away. The job description will change,
mm-hmm,
and that we'll be in charge of watching over the AI doing some stuff, and then we'll have other things to do. And this is there's been much hullabaloo over progress for a long time.
Yeah.
And I will admit, progress is coming quickly now, and it will probably come more quickly as we go on. But so far, humans have not been replaced. We can get jobs for anybody with an IQ over 85, right? I mean, you got an IQ over 85, you're taking care of a family, you're doing all kinds of stuff. It's the ones under that you're like, what do we do with these?
Right.
And, well, you know, what do we do with those? But the same thing we've been doing with them, I guess.
Yeah, Walmart greeter, whatever.
Yeah, well, and you're absolutely right, actually. What the United States has become, right, it used to be, you know, in the 50s or whatever, right, the United States was a manufacturing country. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Ford, Chevy, right, Boeing, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we manufacture, we make stuff. Well, it's no longer true. We haven't been a manufacturing company for decades, right? What the United States has become, though, is a service industry, right? Doing exactly that, tech support, maid services, a service-oriented economy, right? We're doing all the other jobs now. We're not making stuff, but we're, you know, servicing contracts. We're doing benefits. You know, we're database administration, right? We're IT people now, right? That kind of a thing. That's, you know, these are where the job explosions have been. Technology has been the largest growing sector in the United States since I was born, right? Near as I can tell.
Yeah.
And largely technology has been responsible for most of my livelihood, period. Right. If not all of it. Right. Because I always found myself just a little bit ahead of the curve when it came to technology. And so I was able to sort of regurgitate that back, teach people or help people out when they got into a bind. And turns out people will pay for that.
Oh, absolutely.
So, remember when young people all they had to do was say Facebook and social media and they had a job?
Right.
Like how unqualified. Yeah, and we all find out that we don't know a darn thing about Facebook and social media and that it wasn't very valuable anyway. But, I mean, for 10 years, a lot of people made a lot of money.
Yep. And they still do. It's just there's now different social media.
OnlyFans now.
Well, and what's the other one?
The service industry, right? Yeah, there it is.
What's the other one? TikTok?
TikTok is not like OnlyFans.
No, I know, but like
TikTok and Instagram.
TikTok and Instagram are two platforms that I have never signed up for or participated in at all. Now, to be fair, I see a bunch of TikTok videos on other platforms.
Yeah, it's like you can't stop people from sending them to you. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I can't, at least.
Yeah, they show up on Twitter, they show up on Facebook,
they
show up wherever, right, on Mastodon, whatever it is. People are sharing these videos everywhere. So you can't get away from vicariously using the platform, but these are platforms that I've never signed up for because I just haven't seen the value. No one can come to me and say, hey, Captain, you know, I realize you just released a new 3-song EP, and folks can find that at CaptainKickAss.com, but man, you could be selling way more downloads or getting more streams if you just had a TikTok. Like, nobody's coming to me and telling me that, right? And if I go and look for that information, there's no information to support that either.
Yeah,
right, so.
I think it's basically luck, because you do have like those random people who become TikTok famous, and there's really no rhyme or reason to it. It's not like they have better content than anybody else. It's just random.
Yeah, it's the viral act, right?
This used to happen. It matters.
Yeah.
This used to happen on YouTube all the time, back before Google bought it. right? If you were signed out of YouTube and you just went to YouTube.com, it used to say top trending videos.
Yes, yeah.
And it would be some lady in her living room with a funny cat doing something weird or whatever, right? Because that was the top trending video of the day. That went away as soon as Google bought it. Now, if you log out of YouTube and go to YouTube.com through a web browser, it'll show you this. It looks largely like the same page, but all of the videos are all highly, heavily produced, big fonts, right? Some expressive, you know, something, some extreme expression, but, you know, to capture the attention of whoever looks at this thumbnail, like, it's all very, it's no longer organic in that way.
Yeah, you have to put a lot more effort into it, too.
So I could see that happening more frequently with something like a TikTok than anything else. Sadly, Google has destroyed YouTube. That way,
everything's going to grow and change, and people must want these videos that that Google's producing for YouTube, is my guess. And I got to say, I'm pretty happy about a place where I can go and figure out how to fix anything.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. This article just sort of wraps up by saying this is all a very big problem for those with for those college students accumulating insurmountable student debt for degrees that may be proven worthless.
I mean, they were worthless before. I mean, and a lot of these degrees, it's like, we can't blame this on AI. Your degree was already worthless. I'm sorry, your gender studies degree? What are you going to do with that? I mean, maybe you could become a professor if you get, like, a doctorate in that.
Is it the art degree? And, like, people go, oh, I got a degree in art. Like,
oh, how about, you're sitting here on radio, how about a communications degree? Oh, was it ever worth anything?
You know, I attended a school for audio engineering in Minneapolis, Minnesota in 90.
Now, those guys, I still respect.
93. And, like, it was on the cusp of the digital revolution, right? So I had to learn things that don't exist anymore, like destructive editing. Imagine cutting something and not being able to undo ever.
Oh, no.
Yeah, had no level of undo, right? So, and then
there's
when
back arrow. Yeah, what do you do?
No, you, or you go re-record.
Yep. Yeah.
Right? I mean, you had to just lay down new tracks. You had to call the band up and be like, sorry, guys, I sort of killed the drummer's take, and, you know, we didn't come in and do another take.
Fired.
You know, that's what would happen, right? Yeah. That's how you knew the good ones from the bad ones.
Oftentimes, you would do more than one take, and you'd just take the second take that they didn't know about. And
That's a smart and seasoned audio engineer, yes.
Yes.
So, like, you know, this was sort of... So I learned the analog ways, which was very beneficial to me for a lot of reasons. It taught me basic networking, because a recording studio is a network. It's just a whole bunch of gazintas and gazatas, as they say on the Beverly Hillbillies, right? The sound comes from here and goes into here. Where does it gazada? Oh, gazada there. Oh, okay. Well, where does it gazinta from there? Oh, it goes into here. Right? And you just wire stuff up appropriately. Right? But that's like networking 101 is just signal flow. Right? The signal starts here. It goes here. Yep. It takes a left. It goes over here. It takes a right. And then it ends up at the destination, which is the speaker. Right? So same thing I'm doing here tonight.
No, it's the truth. I've sat there and been told, you know, walked through these things. And by the end of it, I'm like, oh, yeah, I completely understand. And then, you know, 2 months later when I've got to do it again, I've forgotten everything.
That you've just summed up my entire life.
Yeah, I know. Ian. And, you know, Ian's like, oh, God. You know, again?
Yeah.
Again? Yeah, again.
Yeah, Ian will show me things from time to time. And I'll be like, yeah, I don't remember any of that. Sorry, man. I'm old.
I remember when I was young and I'd say, learn things quickly. Yeah, I don't think I do anymore.
Yeah, now I have a phrase that I used to use on a resume. I think it was adjust easily in multitask situations. That sounds pretty good, right? What does it actually mean? Well, first of all, it points out that I'm not very good at multitasking, right? But I'll adjust to it if you really want me to do it. Interesting note, a microphone and a speaker are the exact same technology.
Ah, yes, you've told me this one before.
Yeah, like you can reverse the things, and I did this in school when I was going for audio engineering, where you can just plug a speaker into an XLR cable, a mic cable, and then plug, you know, the amplifier at a very low level into the back of the microphone, and you could talk into the speaker and go in the other room and listen to it back out of the microphone.
So you're telling me that Gilligan's Island, they had that radio, and they could have broadcast and got out of there?
Well, it's my recollection that they did broadcast.
No, they didn't broadcast.
They tried to. They would power up that radio and be like, hey, you know, we're looking for somebody.
No, they may have had a radio on the boat or something, but there was this white Bakelite radio that they had. And the professor said that there was no way, and I don't believe there is. There's no transmitter.
Right.
So
right. That wouldn't work in that scenario.
No.
But like, if you are at a live concert, you could, in theory, wire up the speakers and the microphones in the opposite form.
It'd probably sound bad.
No, it sounds horrible because microphones are designed to take input in and then transduce it and then be processed before it goes out the speaker to make it sound as good as it possibly can.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that they're both made of the same components. They have a diaphragm, mm-hmm. they have a spring of some sort, or they're spring-loaded in some way so that they bounce, they're resilient. They are the exact same technology, just a microphone is a much smaller version of a speaker, and a speaker is a much larger version of a microphone as far as technology is concerned.
Got it.
So that makes for, you know, fun times in the recording studio, right? You're like, I want to make some really weird sounds. Oh, we got you, you know. Before digital technology, there's a thing called backmasking.
Yeah.
Right? This is, Mark will remember this. They used to record.
There were preachers that made a living talking about this stuff.
They used to record messages. What they would do is they would take the tape on the tape deck, and they would flip it upside down so that when you hit record, it was actually recording backwards. So then they would say stuff like, I remember, I think Styx had a backmask on the Mr. Roboto album.
Yeah.
And it was the bit that's on like the dollar around the Latin or whatever it is around the pyramid. No, it was the Aeneid Queptis Nova Sardosichlorum or something like that. And they just said that, but like when you played it backwards, it sounded like
Or Stairway to Heaven. You played Stairway to Heaven backwards.
Kiss had some of that. Yep. They did backmasking.
Sure.
Black Sabbath engaged in it. But this was an analog thing that took a really long time for the digital environment to be able to mimic.
Hmm.
So even though most audio recording had transitioned to the digital domain, there were still certain things that you could only get right with tape. And there still are some to this day. Most recording engineers will record a drum kit to analog tape before importing that into the digital domain to give it its color and sound. The classic rock drum kit sound. 603-283-6160. Speaking of rock and roll, we've got an article about a legendary rock artist who is he being canceled? We'll find out. It's Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160.
It's obvious. The unthinkable is going to happen soon. With all the distractions in the media, we probably won't see it coming. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. American families are preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Order by 3 p.m., and your items ship the same day. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.